With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect. So after a long day, buy a double cheeseburger and add a McChicken for a dollar. Because saving with deals is always on the menu. With new McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
Craving your next action-packed adventure? Audible delivers thrills of every kind on your command, like Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir, where a lone astronaut must save humanity from extinction, narrated with stunning intensity by Ray Porter. From electrifying suspense and daring quests to spine-tingling horror and romance in far-off realms, unleash your adventurous side with gripping titles that'll keep you guessing. Discover exclusive Audible originals, hotly anticipated new releases, and must-listen bestsellers that hook you from the first minute. Because Audible knows there's no greater thrill than the one that speaks to you. Discover what lies beyond the edge of your seat. Start your free 30-day trial at audible.com/WonderyUS. That's audible.com/WonderyUS.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can go do literally anything else with your time.
Anything else with your time. And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got to Go Touch Grass Patreon with tons more content weekly, access to our Discord community, and our spinoff series, Search History. We go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. This week's Patreon, I broke down everything that's going on with Shannon Sharp.
It is.
It's a lot going down, and it's an interesting conversation that Black Twitter, Black TikTok is having about, you know, he tried to pull the freak card on the girl and slut shame the girl, and everyone said uno reverse.
Yeah.
You're the freak,
yeah.
Shannon.
Yeah, and I certainly learned a lot, and you can learn a lot by going to our Patreon.
I made Elise read the text.
Millie did make me read some text out loud that if someone were to cut them and isolate my voice, I could end up in a strange place.
Well, sometimes you do just want a big black baby inside of you.
And that was Millie who said that. And that was on Millie.
Speaking of big black babies.
Okay. How is this transition actually? I actually want to hear you finish the transition from that to what you're supposed to say next.
Speaking of big black babies, I'm going to cry. If you don't leave us a 5-star rating and review,
we love
reviews. We need more of them. But the best review you can do is to tell your friends, tag us in a little story. We'll repost it. You know, we're online. You thought you had me. You thought there is no way Millie's going to get out of there.
I never underestimate my friend Millie Tamaris. I wanted to see it. Guess what?
This is UCB, the amount, if you guys don't know what a cult name UCB is, like, that's, guess what? That's a useful skill.
Speaking
of big black babies.
Is it worth what we spent? That's the real question. Is it worth what it cost? Is the juice worth the squeeze, as James Jordan would say?
Catch Elise on Betty Night.
and please do. Ticket sales are often low. Anyways. We have to continue the intro. As you know, 2025 is Go Touch Grass's pivot to video. We have full video episodes of this podcast uploaded every weekend for your viewing pleasure. Audio is still on Wednesdays, but on Saturdays, you get the full effect. You get to see the fits. You get some extra content. You get to see what was taken out for time or because it didn't translate to audio. You get to see that our guest and I are kind of identically dressed. We're coordinated.
Yeah, for sure.
We're coordinated.
You don't know, one thing about Sean is that ever since our guy Luigi Mangione went on trial, he's been trying to replicate that flow since.
Oh, he does wear the red sweater too.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, and so then should we just bring our guest in at this point? You already heard him.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I won't do that again.
She's going to do it again.
She's going to find a place to do it again. And guess what? We learned that at UCB.
Yeah. Because you do have to do it a third time.
You have to do it a third time. And also, if someone says don't do something, that's the rule of comedy. You got to do it.
Okay. Listen, we've got a wonderful guest in studio today. He's a writer for More Perfect Union, covering corporate greed and the politics that enable it. That's straight from his Instagram bio, folks. It's Sean Morrow.
Thank you so much for having me. This is delightful.
Wow. Yeah. Welcome.
Delightful is a word.
Delightful, yeah.
We had a high energy intro today. Yes. Sometimes we just read the copy, but today it was
today
high energy.
Today was high energy.
The weather's nice in Brooklyn.
Listen.
ADHD exactly. meds are back in stock, so I got high energy too.
ADHD meds are back in stock, yeah. And that's like a big thing.
Yeah, before RFK sends us all to the camps.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
To the wellness camp.
Well. Speaking of wellness camps, Sean.
Yes.
You went, listen, so Elise said you're a writer, but you're a fucking capital J journalist, I would say.
I'm just going off the Instagram bio.
Yeah, no, it's true. You are a writer.
I do some Googling.
But I'm a writer. Like, you're a journalist.
Yeah. I try, yeah.
And you've gone viral several times for your work, but you also went viral when Twitter changed its verification rules.
Yes.
Could you talk to us about everything that happened, what you did, all the fallout? Very quickly.
An iconic internet moment.
Iconic internet moment that sadly we don't have that much time for, but we do want to hear.
Absolutely. I think I can do it quick. When famous billionaire idiot Elon Musk purchased Twitter, he took away or changed the verification system, right? Uh-huh. So originally, if you were a journalist or a celebrity or whatever, you get the little blue check through your organization, et cetera.
I did.
Yeah, I used to have one too. It was kind of cool. I don't know.
You like, on a cartoon, yeah. I think.
It was cool.
Yeah.
Just a little special thing to show you're a real person. Elon misunderstood what verification was for. I think he thought it was more of a status symbol than anything else, even though I don't think anyone else really thought of it like that.
People did think of it like that.
Like,
let's relax.
Super media coded fucking people that were like,
yeah,
wish they worked at Gawker in 2009 or whatever.
I think like musky people started to be like, the blue checks are blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It became a weird thing in his world.
Yeah, like just wanting to be accepted by liberal journalists or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he made it so that anyone could buy one for $8, which is still like that. And I chose to purchase one for the pharmaceutical company Eli Lilly and tweet, we're excited to announce that insulin is free now. And that went like super viral. Yeah. I don't think anyone really believed it per se, as much as it was just like, they had to come out and admit that they aren't doing that that day. The CEO had to speak about it. It led direct. I believe it was like a big part of why they changed the system, because all the pharmaceutical companies pulled all their advertising from Twitter. So I cost Elon Musk a lot of money, which is kind of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's very awesome.
He's one of the enemies of our podcast. He's in our Grasshole Hall of fame.
He's a real piece of shit.
J.K. Rowling, Andrew Tate. Now, thank you, Allison Klein.
Yeah.
Fifty Cent.
Nice.
Kanye.
Yeah, Grasshole Hall of Fame. People who just really permanently need to log off.
Yeah.
Did you get any hate? I know that you do have to go private and stuff because you got hate for some tweets that you do. And I wonder if that one was one of the ones.
So honestly, when I've had to go private in the past, that was when I was facing a huge anti-Semitic attack, real anti-Semitism, not anti-Zionism, about I had made a video in like 2017, which honestly wasn't very good, after the Charleston thing.
Yeah.
Where I basically said, like, as a white person, here's why I think it's stupid to care about protecting white culture. And they got me. I'm actually Jewish, not white.
Wow.
They say, oh, no, they fucking broke that story wide open.
Wow.
So there was like a huge, and I went private for that. But the thing is,
you got outed as being Jewish.
I got outed as being Jewish. Yeah. Like, fucking look at me. Great job.
Yeah. I'm not going to comment on that. But,
do you want to do another big black baby thing? Or
Drink your big African babies. Let's talk about Elon Musk some more.
Yeah. He has the best description of a big African baby, I think. Yeah.
Wow. That's like true, though.
Yeah.
That's Truth in Comedy, which is a book that you would
read if you
went to UCB.
Yeah. I'm done. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Elon's real, real bad.
Also, yeah.
Causing a lot of damage.
Elon's bad. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, that is truly the definition of the Lord's work. Okay, so I have one more question before we get into our discourse. This is actually just like a broader question for all of us that was bopping around on, I saw it on Twitter, but it has moved since to Reddit and TikTok. And I think it's an important question for us to address here. Not since the would a woman rather be in the woods with a man versus a bear conversation has an animal based question made the rounds.
Just
passed
from the animal kingdom, one of our segments.
Exactly. So I have to ask you guys, who would win in a fight? 100 men or one gorilla.
Yeah, that's been going really crazy on Black Twitter too.
It's been phrased in a different way than the way that I said it.
Yes, and I appreciate you for saying for not saying the N-word.
And I will continue to not say it. But who would win? 100 men or one gorilla?
Huh.
That one's hard because people were like, gorillas aren't that hard. Like, you know, I've seen controversial things. Like, some people are like, gorillas are just like animals. They're really nice. Like, they're cuddly. Like,
yeah.
If there's whatever, like, they're not going to put up that much of a fight. And then other people are showing like the most crazy violent gorillas in like a King Kong style.
Yeah, like, so I think we have to assume for the purpose of the question that the gorilla is actively fighting.
Okay.
Protecting like its baby or something.
Yeah, like it's using it's not, yeah. Okay, it's engaged in a fight with you.
A male gorilla.
A male gorilla, yeah.
Because then we have 100 men versus one female gorilla. That's a different video.
That's fucked up, yeah.
And that's misogyny.
My money's on the human beings. Feel like they've got the strategic mind to work together. 100's a lot.
100 is a lot.
100 is a lot. This is what I'm going to say. Humans will beat the gorilla. A gorilla will beat AI. A gorilla will just beat AI.
Well, yeah.
There's going to be 60% of, like, if it was 100 humans versus AI, and AI was gonna kill us, a gorilla would just punch the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, a gorilla doesn't need the computer. Like, the reason AI is gonna take over all of us is because it's gonna, I just finished watching Black Mirror, so it's like, it's gonna infect our brains and all of our lives. The gorilla will be fine. The gorilla's not using the computer. The gorilla doesn't need it to write emails for him. Yeah. It doesn't need anything.
Unless deforestation. I don't think gorillas like that.
No, that's bad.
Yeah, but that's even more why, like, gorillas will fight angrily towards AI. Mm-hmm. Where 100 men against AI, men love AI.
Oh,
if men could fuck AI right now, they would.
Yeah, well, yeah, the AI would just be like, "You guys are really handsome," and then, they would be like, "Ah,
completely merged."
They're like, "Really? You think so?"
Yeah,
everyone's going her mode like immediately. I have a friend who uses AI. He'll feed what women say to on dating apps and to ChatGPT to get responses. It's fucking crazy.
For women, but
yeah, it's like that's insane behavior to me.
I'm like, is it that hard? But I guess sometimes guys really flop it with the replies, so maybe they do need help.
Yeah, it's just dishonest too. I don't know. And he used to ask me to write his messages for him, so it took my job too.
Do you really want to be drafting responses for your friend?
Oh, like little zingers and one-liners was sometimes fun. I wasn't like helping him.
But here's the thing: isn't that kind of a version of catfishing? It's not like a facial catfish, but it's like you presented to me that you have the personality of someone who can do zingers and who can come up with fun one-liners.
That's
and
dishonest.
Then we're going to sit down to dinner and you've got no zingers. You've got no little quips.
Yeah.
Two comments, right? One is that when I studied abroad in Japan, I was an international student in Japan and I like toured the Japanese college and we went to the gym. And I met a basketball player and he asked for my number.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first day in like study abroad thing. So he's texting me in Japanese, full paragraphs. I would copy it, send it to my friend Yumika. Yumika would translate it in English. Then I'd write my reply in English. Then she'd translate in Japanese and then add all the cute Japanese girls emojis. So it'd be like a random penguin ice skating. And she's like, and then sometimes she'll ask me, like, she'll be putting her commentary on, like, she's like, he's into this book, but this book is for losers. Like, and then it would take me a day to write him back. And then we went on our date and I couldn't say anything. He was like, oh, so, like, no. 'Cause he thought my Japanese was at a level. And he's like, oh, yeah, so what do you like to do? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the second comment is, how many zingers do you need on a dating app? Someone's like, hey, how many siblings do you have? And you're like, speaking of big black people.
Yeah, zinger might have been the wrong word.
Okay, so just to round out where we got him, we're saying that we think 100 men could probably beat the gorilla.
Yeah, my money's on the human beings.
Yeah, I think I agree. As long if the men get organized, I think if the gorilla really scares them on the first guy, something like
yeah.
could, depends on like the nature of the 100 men. But I do think that if the gorilla really fucks up like guys 1 through 5,
yeah,
the rest of them might throw in the towel.
Oh, it's one by one, like a karate movie?
I guess I don't know.
I was thinking I guess they're
surrounding the gorilla,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah. I think
But I think
that
it would take down a couple of them.
It would take down a couple of them.
Yeah.
But we're saying men as a unit, not 100 men individually. Yeah. Men as a unit will defeat a gorilla. Men as a unit, I do not believe they can defeat.
I guess what I'm saying is I think the gorilla would come out strong in the first quarter.
Yeah.
But if the men could sustain themselves and their organization, they would ultimately defeat
Hold
the
it
gorilla.
Down. Yeah. Yeah.
But
I don't even know what 100 men is like. Is that like a subway car?
It's like a voting block for Donald Trump. Yeah, that's what I was like. What if the gorilla was wearing a MAGA hat? Do you think 100 men would want to defeat it? I think it's
well, we
cool.
can't Good even question. Get into demographics now. We're getting into
Yeah. Because the conservative men are who we need to fight to be
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like,
it's like, well,
like
no.
We don't fucking, like, yeah.
Well.
Okay, well, that actually leads us quite well into today's discourse. The discourse is our topic where we discuss something that's making the rounds online. This week's discourse, I think, is well suited to you, our guest. And it is also a software update because we have discussed this topic before. Pete Hegseth has done it again, everyone. we discussed it, the last War Plans group chat in our episode at the beginning of the month with Martin Urbano. But last week, news broke that Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth shared military attack plans in another group chat on his personal phone with his wife, brother, and lawyer. So just as a reminder to anyone who can't remember what we talked about, literally 3 weeks ago.
I can't believe that was 3 weeks ago. It feels like a different
lifetime. I know. It's because the weather changed.
The
weather changed and everything changed. The original group chat in question was created by National Security Advisor Mike Walls and was called the Houthi PC Small Group. And Walls has since taken full responsibility for the chat, which included The Atlantic, the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic.
Yeah.
This, if you guys remember from the episode, he said that he didn't even have his number. The number just got sucked into his phone, and that was the excuse. Hegseth has maintained that what was shared in the group was totally fine, unclassified info. The White House has insisted that war plans were not shared. Former military personnel disagree. Sean, before we move on to phase two of this story, would love to know if you were added to a group chat containing kind of like the highest officials in the U.S. defense apparatus, what would your move be?
Oh, I would tell everybody immediately. I wouldn't have the self-control that Jeff Goldberg had to like hold it for the right moment. I've accidentally used this phrase in the workplace before, realizing I shouldn't, thinking about these kinds of things. When you find like one little fact that you think is pretty big, but you haven't built a pattern of behavior on it, you don't want to blow your load on that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're probably not supposed to say blow your load in the workplace. I think it's a metaphor. I don't think it's, but yeah, I would blow my load on that immediately. I'd post it so fast.
Jesus.
Yeah. That would be on.
Now you're getting canceled on our podcast.
Yeah, I would have tweeted it moments after I got added.
Yeah. It is hard to. It's hard to keep a secret.
Yeah.
I was like, would you then say that insulin is free in the group
and
chat?
Call, yeah, I'd just be like, fuck you guys.
Yeah. Insulin's free. And then you leave.
Yeah.
But I guess you do have to stay.
You have to stay, yeah.
You do have to stay.
Stay as long as you can, kind of watching this. Yeah, that's honorable to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I feel like you're not giving yourself enough credit. You ever, like, have a friend be like, hey, don't tell anybody, but this happened? And then when that person goes to you and they're telling you that this happened, you're like, oh, my God, I had no idea.
Yeah. And pretend a little bit. Yeah. No, I can keep a secret in that context. I just get excited. You know?
Yeah. Would you announce yourself or would you lurk?
Ooh, that's another good question. Because like the other option is just trolling them.
Yeah.
Just being like, yo, guys, I don't think we should do this.
Has anyone ever thought not to bomb Yemen?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, what if we like kind of changed everything up with what we're doing right now?
Yeah.
What You're if like, who are you?
Yeah. You guys want to go get some Yemeni food? I know a good place out in Houston.
Oh my gosh. The coffee. The coffee's great.
I mean, there are a lot of options. Once you're in the chat, there are kind of a lot of options with how to proceed. Though I am glad that Jeff Goldberg did what he did, which we did explain that he was kind of initially like, I think they're tricking me.
I think this is a scam, yeah.
Yeah, which I guess is how you end up the editor-in-chief of the Atlantic. Yeah. Like you have these thought processes.
Yeah, yeah.
To
say,
editor in chief, but financial editor of The Cut, she'll get scammed real quick. And that's a reference to our $50,000 in a shoebox.
In a shoecase.
She fell for that so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, things can happen to anyone. That was the point of that article, is it could happen to anyone. Anyone.
Especially the financial editor
of The Cut.
Or Pete Hegseth.
Or Pete Hegseth.
It absolutely could happen to Pete Hegseth.
Thank you for bringing it back. Yeah.
Pete Hegseth is just kind of an idiot, too. Like, yes. He's just a Fox News host, and you watch him on there. He's, like, doing push-ups in the middle of the show. He's just a dumb guy. Like, beyond evil, beyond any political disagreements, he's a stupid man.
He's, like... He's cartoonish in his ridiculousness, which is a little bit, I guess there's a little bit of Trump round one with him. Like when Trump version one, the first round of people that they introduced us to were so wacky and like visibly so that he's kind of a nice little harken
like
back
Kellyanne.
Yeah. I remember the first inauguration Kellyanne wore that crazy, like, she looked like a toy soldier, her little outfit.
I don't remember that. I just remember Melania's "I don't really care."
That was her getting on a plane
to see like the kids locked in cages.
It was during cages, that time. Yeah,
like she literally went to Texas with that.
And
said it was an accident.
Yeah, I used to be an apologist of her before then, like that she's captured, like caught, you know, like almost like any kind of like abusive relationship kind of situation. I felt bad for her. And after that, I was like, oh, no, she's completely complicit in all of this.
Oh, no. Yeah. We did a long review on our Patreon of like the very weird rollout she had online for her book, Melania, by Melania. And she was truly doing some of the weirdest to camera videos I've ever seen.
Didn't she have an NFT of her eyes, or she was selling a painting of her eyes for like $500?
Yeah, she was selling a painting of her eyes that was called Melania's Eyes. And it was really, but then there was also.
Sean would have bought it because he's an idiot.
Yeah, definitely. I would fall for immediately.
He would have said, "We have to help her.
We have to help her escape. She can't just walk away. He's the president. He would hurt her."
Okay, but back to the weird member of the administration that we are talking about today. So as it turns out, on the same day that Hegseth was sharing attack plans on Signal with members of the Trump administration, like the defense apparatus, he and Jeff Goldberg from The Atlantic, he also shared the same plans in another chat with his wife, his brother, and his lawyer. And so one thing that I'm kind of confused about is that this chat initially had, according to the New York Times, a dozen other people from his personal and professional inner circle. But I can't tell if they remained on the chat or if they've since been removed. They were kind of talking about them in the past tense, like they're not on the chat anymore.
Huh.
So, like, they're saying he made a big group chat of 12 people, and then all those people, and the only people that said it was his wife.
His brother and his lawyer. So the original chat was called...
I think it was his wife and his brother, and then he added the lawyer later so it could be privileged.
Well, that's a good move.
The wife, brother, and
lawyer... No, it's not, because we got him! Sean, damn it!
The wife, brother, and lawyer were always on because the lawyer now also works for the Pentagon in some kind of capacity. The chat was originally called Defense Team Huddle. And these are separate things. It's like defense and then a line, team huddle. And it was created in January to strategize during his confirmation hearing. So it was a bunch of his personal and professional inner circle to be like, Pete, just say that you'll stop drinking if you get the job. Like,
people that he views in high regard to give him advice.
Yes.
He was going there, but then he put the war plans on it.
Yes. So this is from the New York Times also. Mr. Hegseth created the separate Signal group initially as a forum for discussing routine administrative or scheduling information, two people familiar with the chat said. The people said Mr. Hegseth typically did not use the chat to discuss sensitive military operations.
Oh, okay.
And it did not include other cabinet level officials. And then another thing I was reading is that Hegseth this is from CNN. Hegseth has grown increasingly paranoid about the potential of leaks to the media within the Pentagon and has begun largely depending on a small circle for counsel, which includes his wife. So this was like his ride or dies chat was in defense right. team huddle. So that brings me to another question I wanted to ask you guys is, do you have a name for your ride or die chat with your...
I actually like defense team huddle.
Defense team huddle is good.
Really good
For like, just like, you are my ride or dies. I'm going to you for advice. Like,
I have a chat with two friends who listen to this podcast that is called Houthi PC Small Group.
So, of course. Yeah, I think there are a lot. I feel like if you look at a graph of like the group chat names, Houthi PC like just like skyrocketed.
Defense team huddle is good.
Defense team huddle is.
Yeah.
Somebody I dated said I should call my fans the militants.
Mm. Ooh, so, that's good.
So something about like military, defense,
yeah,
like, with Millie. In
yeah, the military
defense team huddle.
Yeah,
there we go.
Oh, okay, we should add that to our Discord channel.
Yeah,
a special Discord channel.
How should I reply to this?
If it was for the whole show, you could do like Millie Elise Industrial Complex.
Wow. Millie Elise Industrial Complex.
Or Millie Elise Complex, something like that.
I like where this is going. My one most active group chat that has a name is Tongue Girls. And I can't remember why we called it that.
Tongue Girls?
Yeah, that's me, Katie, Ruth, and Bailey. And I don't know why. I think maybe we took a picture and we're all really drunk and we stuck our tongues out and it looked really bad. And we were like, now we're Tongue
sticks.
Girls.
Yeah.
And it stuck. Yeah.
Yeah, used to it because you search the name of it when you go to text.
Exactly.
I've been told that's an old people thing, but that's how I use
it. Oh, I do it.
I mean, whatever. Like Gen Z acts like it's fucking the Dewey Decimal System. You hit search. It's an official
way. Gen Z's so mean all the time.
So mean. No, my college, we had, when I was in college, it was around Gossip Girl. We would like make fake Gossip Girl like posts to each other and like anytime someone's like, hey, what's up? And then like our friend would snap a picture. It's like Millie's being super friendly with the good, like with judo guy or whatever. Stupid. But and then we
spotted
called,
on the green.
Exactly.
Millie being friendly with judo guy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Wearing
exactly.
a full like judo outfit. I'm picturing.
Well, that was my college. The judo team was actually really good. the judo team and our taiko team were really good.
Varsity judo.
So. But our group chat, and we just had our 10-year college anniversary like reunion, and our group chat is Soka Scandals. We would call it Soka Scandals with the Z. So that's our, you know, but Defense Team Huddle,
Defense Team Huddle is really good.
Defense Team Huddle is really strong.
Do guys name their group chat?
We name our group chats. Yeah, I actually was in a co-ed group chat that the men splintered off in, and this was in 2016,
wow,
so it's also political.
Evil.
So we're in room, it was called Locker Room Talk, which is a reference to...
Oh, Jesus.
But, you know, I was also,
and then anytime people are like, how did Trump win in America? You got our most liberal men saying that they're in the Locker Room Talk.
It was me and two gay men, too, which is funny, too, that we call it.
Well,
that.
Then that's a different Locker Room Talk.
That
Billy Bush got screwed there. Also, that's a hot take of mine. Yeah. All he did was like, Trump was saying gross shit, and Billy Bush was like, oh, yeah, man, totally.
Oh, he was giggling.
Yeah, yeah.
He was giggling his little giggle.
And he lost his job, and Trump got to be president.
Yeah, but then Billy Bush is back.
Yeah.
He's back. Don't worry. And Trump is back, sadly. But
everybody's back. Actually, the only person who's not back is whoever that woman was.
Poor, Oh, man.
Yeah.
I was going to say? So maybe we should call this episode Signal Gate 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Ooh, that's good.
I thought your group chat name was going to be Dating App Zingers.
Dating App Zingers. Yeah, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of food for thought already happening here with potentials. Okay. So let me talk about the players who were in Defense Team Huddle. So first we have Phil Hegseth, who is Pete Hegseth's younger brother. So we've got a Pete and a Phil. And he works in the Pentagon as the Department of Homeland Security liaison and senior advisor to his brother.
Fake-ass title.
Yeah.
Fake-ass title.
It's giving the White Lotus brothers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and Phil is like what you would guess his brother's name is. Too.
Yeah.
Like,
oh.
Phil and Pete, Jesus.
Yeah. Phil and Pete is very... like Nickelodeon brother name.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, and they're getting up to all sorts of...
Government's
for trouble. And then Tim Parlator or Parlatore, depending on how Italian of a person we're dealing with. I can say that. I'm Italian-X. is Hegseth's personal lawyer and a former naval officer who now works in the Department of Defense under Hegseth in some capacity. So when I was like looking this guy up, he was, when Hegseth was going through his confirmation hearing, he was like out doing press hit after press hit being like, Pete Hegseth is great. He's good to women. He's not an alcoholic.
Oh, he so should a liar.
Be in, yeah, right, he yeah. should be in charge of stuff for sure. So that's how he kind of got into the mix.
Okay, so we got a fake job title and a guy who just straight up lies about everything.
Yes, yeah. His hype man.
Yeah exactly. He is very much a hype man.
Defense team huddle, you're right.
Yeah, defense team huddle, you need a hype man in your defense team huddle. It's important to note that neither of these men have jobs that would require them to know anything about airstrikes or like top level military stuff that's going on. That's not where they're at. But the big uh-oh, if someone is actually claiming that they've done anything wrong here, which Pete Hegseth is not, is that his wife, Jennifer, was also in the chat. She is not a Department of Defense employee. She is a former Fox News host. Mm-hmm. And there's already controversy around her because she's been accompanying Hegseth to sensitive meetings with his foreign leaders.
Am I crazy or did he cheat on his first wife with this wife or something?
That could be true.
Probably. I don't.
That could be true.
Not that I remember, but probably.
I mean, I know that in the proceedings of his first divorce, that was when his mom wrote that letter that came out that was like, I think you treat women horribly and are a very bad man.
His mom said he shouldn't do the job, I think, right?
Yeah. And then I think later had to be like, no, actually, I my son's fine.
Well, okay. I mean, you just talk cash shit about your son, like, and he's now like in charge of airstrikes. I'd be keeping it cute, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is true. Like, that is true.
Just like we actually don't need to talk about Pete, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
that's a movie reference, if anybody.
We need to talk about Kevin.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I was like, there's a we need to talk about Pete?
No.
With Tilda Swinton and Ezra Miller. Okay. So, but back to Jennifer, put in Ezra Miller. That's like a four-part episode that we could do about all of that. So, Jennifer Hegseth joined a bilateral meeting at the Pentagon in March between Hegseth and UK Defense Secretary John Healey. But according to them, she left the meeting before any sensitive discussions occurred.
Why was she there in the first place?
No idea.
Bring your wife to work day? What's the purpose of that?
I don't understand it either. And it's also like, yeah, he probably just sent her a voice note about it after. They're chit-chatting. They're on Signal.
One time I worked at this office and this one guy came to a job interview, but his brother, like, literally walked him into the office. And I'm like, maybe to make sure that he actually, like, walks in and take, like, I'm like, maybe that's what Pete Hegseth's wife did.
Yeah.
She's like, I gotta make sure your ass gets to work. You better not come up in my house.
Or maybe if this was a cheating thing, which I will check on those details and then, like,
Do a voice note
into the episode. Hello, everyone. Elise here after a brief Google, as promised. So here's what I got for you. Not confirmed that Pete Hegseth cheated on his first wife with his current wife, Jennifer Hegseth, but they did both meet while they both were married. And when Pete Hegseth filed for divorce in 2008, he did admit to having cheated on her in the filing. So, do with that information what you will. And back to the episode.
But if this was a cheating thing, and she's a Fox News host, and maybe they met at work, maybe she's like, I'm not leaving you alone in meetings with anybody. Mm-hmm. I know how you act at work.
Mm-hmm.
She makes him CC her on all his texts.
Exactly. She's like, put me in the defense team huddle. I want to see it.
Yeah.
Show me your signal.
You lose them how you get them. That's why you can't be fucking people at work.
Who's J.D. Vance? Is that a girl?
Another Jennifer? Really? So another thing to note about this is because she doesn't work at the Department of Defense and they don't have these like high level jobs, all of them are using their personal phones for this. They're not on the government issue phones even that you're supposed to be using. So I think Houthi PC small group, presumably they would have been on their special government phones.
If everybody on that group was supposed to
If one of them wasn't an Atlantic reporter, everybody else supposedly would have had the special government phone. These people don't even have the special government phone that you are supposed to have.
This is the thing, too. And I mean, this is like a broader overall kind of criticism of the conservative movement. But if you put so much distrust in government, right? He's like, shit like is going to leak. Shit is going to leak. And it's like, actually, they already thought of that. They made it so you can't talk about this shit outside this room in this building, yeah, and that you can't use a phone that blah, blah, blah. They did it already and you're already distrusting it. You're not even giving it a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like you're recreating a shittier version of something that was already addressed.
Like, yeah,
it's insane. Like, okay, if you're scared of something leaking, then reform something. Don't just do anything rogue. Yeah, dumbass. I don't know.
It is very funny to be scared of leaks, but then to be putting everything in text, that like screenshottable text messages.
So, yeah. And not even Apple has everything too.
Yeah. And not even looking through, like, do I know everyone who's on the group chat? Which goes back to the first one where it's like, hey, there's kind of one unknown number on here. Do we know
who
that
is?
No,
and they didn't even notice when that person left, when Jeff left. So the wife, I'm also like, why are you in a Signal group chat with your wife? Like, if you're in a Signal group chat as husband and wife, Signal, you guys murdered someone.
Yeah.
But then I'm also like, then why wouldn't you talk about that in person? Why is your wife a Signal contact?
Right. You can have very confidential conversations with your wife just at your house.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just talk. Yeah.
They could have all of these conversations in person and no one would know.
She does not need to be on there. Yeah. Yeah. Signal's used for very specific, like I have Signal for like work stuff. Whenever I get notification, like, exactly. Whenever I get a notification, like, blah, 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 download Signal. I'm like, oh, you got a new drug dealer. Why? It's elite. Yeah. Mm,
I mean, yeah, there's someone who is constantly leaving business cards on my front step who goes by the name Mr. Zaza. Yeah. And he's always saying that we should download Signal to get mushrooms from him. And I'm like, honestly, Mr. Zaza, maybe I will.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, Mr. Zaza, I am taking one of these.
Yeah.
And then Pete Hegseth's wife is in the chat because she got to be apparently in every chat.
It's automatic. Like, Tom, you're my friend on MySpace. Is that Pete Hegseth's
wife? It's
like
the
everything?
U2 album of Signal chats, apparently.
Yeah, I messaged Mr. Zaza and I'm like, who is this other number? Person. And it's Jennifer Hegseth.
Got to CC her. Got to keep her in the loop.
So, okay, as we said, the original version of the chat that had the 12 people in it also included two senior advisors, Dan Caldwell and Darren Selnick, who were just fired after being accused of leaking unauthorized information last week. So kind of unfortunate that they were in the defense team huddle as well.
That's just
too
bad. Completely like leaking stuff. And like, what kind of stuff were they leaking? Were they leaking like everybody fucked up? Or were they saying like, hey, Houthis, guess what?
I think it was like they were talking to reporters.
Yeah, right, they were talking to reporters. I think a lot of people have been leaking of how messy the Hegseth Defense Department is, mm-hmm, and saying that apparently tensions are running high and it's not a well-run organization. And so they got in trouble for that. But then they also are like, we didn't leak anything.
I feel like, yeah, my understanding too is like, were these guys, I guess if they were in the 12 group, but I'm like, some of the people that have been getting laid off that have been leaking are like nonpartisan, like Pentagon people.
Yeah.
I understood. And like, they're leaking to the press, this shit is run bad.
Yeah.
Not like government plans.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, I think that you're correct, that that's kind of the nature of the leaks. So how is the White House responding now? Well, they maintain there's no national security leak. And then Pentagon spokesman Sean Parnell tweeted this after the release, which I just think is very funny. Another day, another old story back from the dead. The Trump-hating media continues to be obsessed with destroying anyone committed to President Trump's agenda. This time, the New York Times and all other fake news that repeat their garbage are enthusiastically taking the grievances of disgruntled former employees as the sole sources for their article. They relied on only the words of people who were fired this week and appear to have a motive to sabotage the secretary and the president's agenda. There was no classified information in any Signal chat, no matter how many ways they try to write the story. What is true is that the Office of the Secretary of Defense is continuing to become stronger and more efficient in executing President Trump's agenda. We've already achieved so much for the American warfighter and we'll never back down, which is just a phrase I've never heard. Also, I will say, and I say this as a devoted user of the MDASH, I am seeing a lot of MDASHs in here, which some people say is a marker of using AI to write your stuff. And I am seeing a lot in here, which makes me wonder if he ran this tweet through.
I know. AI. I was like, it sounds exactly like if you put in, write what an asshole Trump
It's Trump
guy.
Voice.
It's yeah. Trump voice. It's like, never admit any wrongdoing, never admit any responsibility, never say how you're going to do things differently. Don't apologize. And also tell everyone else that they're garbage.
Yeah, blame it on like the liberals.
Exactly.
Yeah, us. Yeah. It's like, yeah, which is like, this has nothing to do with liberals.
Yeah.
Liberals aren't in the chat at all. Actually.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There are no liberals. I guess unless you accidentally add a reporter.
Yeah.
The defense team huddle was secure.
Yeah.
These are people who were in Pete Hegseth's inner circle.
Anybody, yeah.
This could have been anybody. So just interesting. I like noticed that as I was reading. I was like, did he use AI to write this?
Probably.
If
probably.
Anything, it's like liberals are like, oh, yeah, war's bad. But you're being worse at it by doing this.
Yeah.
You're fucking up war.
And I've also just never seen the American warfighter, warfighter as one word.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving Kamala's most lethal president line.
Oh, right? Yeah. The most lethal military in history. Never liked that.
Yeah. Damn never, like that. Apparently, so did most of the country,
yes.
And that's why Pete Hegseth is texting his wife.
Yeah.
Yemeni.
We have a direct line.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, on 420, another Defense Department official, John Ulliott, who left the department last week, wrote an opinion essay for Politico saying the Pentagon is in disarray under Hegseth's leadership and suggested Trump should remove him. Trump continues to say that Hegseth did nothing wrong, and White House spokeswoman Anna Kelly released a statement after the latest revelation saying, no matter how many times the legacy media tries to resurrect the same non-story, they can't change the fact that no classified information was shared. Reminder that exact times, locations, details of machinery were shared in the chat.
Yeah, like Goldberg was like sitting in his car, like watching the strikes happen. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So what did he do? So did Pete Hegseth copy the text from that group and put it into this group chat?
That's what I think, which was also another funny thing where I'm like, yeah, I mean, who among us hasn't been telling a juicy story to multiple group chats and you just copy and paste across? You're like, I said it perfectly the first time. There's no reason for
you accidentally grab the timestamp sometimes when people know they're not getting the original story.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even embarrassing. You're just like, you didn't even write it out for us.
Whatever. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, listen, I'm not going to tell this breakup story again. I already tapped it out. You could read it just like the five other people did.
But yeah, apparently it was like exact same day, exact same time. He was in Houthi PC small group giving the plans and also giving the plans in defense team huddle. So it wasn't even exclusive.
Just a fucking idiot.
I know.
He's just really dumb.
Like, he's just really fucking dumb.
Sometimes like it's tough. It's tough to swallow that that's sometimes the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like some of these people, you know, obviously Donald Trump has a father wound. All this stuff, there's deeper things happening, the intersection of like the rising of capitalism, blah, blah, blah. But then sometimes people are just dumb as fuck.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit too. There's this like pettiness. Like there's this whole cadre of like RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, Elon, who their entire reason for going right has nothing to do with politics because they feel personally harmed by the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you left us out of this. But like someone like Bernie Sanders, who literally was cheated, still fucking fights for them, you know?
I mean,
they're like
a great
small
point.
People.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point of Naomi Klein's doppelganger is that the right is because they don't hold anyone accountable and they don't accept responsibility and all that stuff. The flip side is that they're way more embracing of literally anybody and like, don't care. They won't counsel you. And that's attractive to people who feel any kind of criticism or pushback is rejection.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly. There's no cult-like thing. Like when Joe Biden was clearly losing his goddamn mind, most people, I don't know if this was like real establishment, were like, yeah, he's losing his goddamn mind. Like he has a, you know, a degenerative brain disorder, clearly.
Yeah.
And everyone was saying that openly, but they never criticized Trump.
Oh, no. Trump?
Yeah.
I mean, like, Trump has been incoherent in public many, many times now. Maybe not in the exact way that Joe Biden was in that debate, which was
not
something
great.
I'll never forget observing in real time.
Yeah.
The debate was bad.
The debate was bad. But yeah, it is that idea that as long as you don't criticize anybody else, we won't criticize you. It's a mutual agreement of never saying anybody did anything wrong.
Yep.
I was going to say, as long as you suck Donald Trump's, like, if as long as you're, like, obsessed with Donald Trump and don't step out of line in that way, we will always protect you, maybe.
Yeah. But also, if we want to throw you under the bus, we also can. Because, like, Michael Walls, who created the original Houthi PC small group, he still has his job, but they definitely made him go out and take the full fall for that. He did create the group chat.
Yeah.
But it was, I think, to protect Hegseth that they were like, you're going to be the one who goes out and talks about this and takes the fall and says that his number was sucked into your phone and you're going to do all of this. And
I bet you, like, people had so much pushback against Hegseth that it's kind of like Donald Trump, like, doesn't want to look stupid. So that's why they, you know, no one really complained about Michael Walls as crazily as Pete Hegseth got a lot of pushback. And instead of Donald Trump being like, you guys were right, maybe I shouldn't have gotten this Fox News host who's unqualified for the job, but is obsessed with me and will never do anything that I don't like. And that's why I got him. Instead of doing that, I should have got someone else. He's not going to do that. He's going to keep this guy and do everything in his ability to blame it on other people.
Yeah. Well, Pete Hegseth has actually some of the best job security you can imagine, because now for Donald Trump to fire Pete Hegseth, he would have to admit he was wrong about something, which he would never want to do. So now it's like, Pete Hegseth, your job is solid, baby.
As long as he keeps Trump happy.
Any criticism or anything, then he's out.
As soon as he pushes back on Trump even a little bit, his ass is grass.
Yeah. Which I don't think he's going to do. So he went on Fox and Friends last week and he said that what was shared over Signal then and now, however you categorize it, was informal, unclassified coordination for media coordination and other things. That's what I've said from the beginning. So they're just continuing to say, it's fine. It was all fine. It's good. Democrats are calling for his removal. They were doing that before. Like I said, I think that as long as he continues to rock with Trump, his job is solid as a rock.
Yeah, I don't think removing him does much. There's going to be some other idiot.
It'll be Phil Hegseth.
Phil Hegseth. Yeah, he has like his clone ready to go. Because Trump does this like casting. You know, he picks like Dr. Oz for HHS. It's always people that kind of look at, like, the first Secretary of Defense was Mike Mad Dog Mattis.
Right.
He's picked a guy named Mad Dog. He's always put a black man in charge of urban development.
Yeah.
Right. Because he literally just hears urban. I don't think he knows what that does.
No, I don't.
Like,
think
Ben Carson
knows.
Was a doctor. Why did he pick him?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Remember Ben Carson? Well, such a moment.
He's not the one that died. No,
the pizza guy died.
Yeah, you're thinking about that other guy that ran.
Herman Cain.
Herman Cain died because he got COVID at a Trump rally.
Yep.
Terrible. Yeah. We hate to see it. What I also was going to say was, because Trump and his father got sued for housing discrimination for not renting to black people multiple times, that's why he puts a black guy in charge.
For housing,
Well, you guys won't fuck this up like I do, which obviously... Not true.
All right. So I think that rounds out that discourse. But before we move on to Grasshole of the Week, I did want to pay homage today to one of Twitter's great main characters who we probably won't be seeing for a little while. George Santos was sentenced to 7 years in prison.
Oh, wow. Sad.
For fraud after pleading guilty to charges of wire fraud and aggravated identity theft. Just to honor him, I did want to take one moment to play my favorite Santos clip. It looms large in my mind. I hear it and think of it often. This is a clip that came out right after it was revealed he'd been doing drag in Brazil under the name Kitara Ravage.
Amazing.
So if we could just play this next clip.
Were you ever a drag queen in Brazil?
Oh, I was not a drag queen in Brazil, guys. I was young and I had fun at a festival. Sue me for having a life.
Amazing. Amazing answer.
I think sue me for having a life all the
so
time.
Good.
I was young and I had fun at a festival. Sue me for having a life.
One of my favorite comedy places to do comedy, there's this gay bar called Come On Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they, in their green room, which is where all the drag queens get ready and where Millie gets ready for her Real Housewives live wreath that I do, is a huge blown up picture of Kitara Ravage. And every drag queen puts their lashes on, like, at the end of the show.
Amazing. That's really beautiful. Yeah, I mean, George Santos gave us a lot of really beautiful moments online. Yeah. It's been inspired a lot of discourse. probably good that he's going to jail. I mean,
aggravated fraud. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Who did he even fraud? Like, I'm not even aware of the criminal trial.
He did some like veteran shit.
Right.
He fraud many.
A lot of people. He said he was raising money for veterans and then he kept it.
He also did a
like
fake
campaign shit.
He did like fake dog adoption stuff. Yeah. Like, it's awesome. Really all types of fraud that you could imagine. I think a lot of his campaign donations were fraudulent.
Yeah. Like money laundering or some shit like that. Yeah.
He missed like the summer of the scammer. Do you guys remember that? It was like around Elizabeth Holmes and then Joanne the scammer was around. What happened to that?
Joanne the scammer was like a meme girl.
Right.
Oh, that. Put a pin in Joanne the Scammer for search history.
Yeah, there was like a whole, like a summer of scammers.
Yeah.
The Juicero.
Yeah, he's in jail with, I wonder how he's going to do it. Like Jen Shah, who is a crazy real housewife of Salt Lake City, she's in jail, but she's thriving.
Yeah.
She and it's the same jail as Elizabeth Holmes. Mm-hmm. And she has a class that she teaches called Shamazing Abs.
Yes.
Amazing.
And like, I just feel like she's really thriving. Because she can thrive and, like, she has charisma and can make the best out of everything. I'm wondering if George Santos will thrive in jail. I feel like he could.
I feel like he could. I think he has a lot of the qualities that make Jen Shah a great inmate.
Yeah. I wonder where it'll go. If it's the other, like, where they always send, you know, there's the one jail that, like, right? I know, like, Diddy and Luigi are in the same area.
Well, he got convicted.
Right.
Like, Diddy and Luigi are in the same, and Sam Beckman Freed.
Sam Beckman Freed, yeah.
Because they're awaiting sentencing or something. Or they have active trials.
Sam Beckman Freed,
Sam Beckman Freed, I think he's not in that jail anymore. But
but it's for people who are, like, awaiting.
But George is convicted, so maybe he'll go to, like, some minimum security prison, like the Chrisleys who are in jail for tax fraud.
Yeah, there's the one upstate where I believe at the same time that the Fire Festival guy, then Michael Cohen, Trump's old lawyer, and Mike the Situation Sorrentino were there all at the same time.
They were all in jail at the same time. I wonder if there will be like another high profile person for George Santos to be in jail with.
Yeah.
That's a situation where he could really thrive.
My cousin was in jail recently and I was like sending him shit through the commissary website and you can just search anybody. I didn't know you could do this.
Wow. Yeah.
So somebody like Luigi is bland. You can't send them stuff, but you could send Harvey Weinstein. That was just the first name I thought to check.
Oh my God.
I was like, I'm just going to send him some like high sodium ramen, move things along a little faster.
Crazy.
You can look up anybody, like any celebrity.
See, you're an asshole scammy troll. You wouldn't fuck up the group chat.
Like Harvey Weinstein was on there. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's like a famous, or not famous, and maybe it's famous on my FYP, but there's like a whole sector of TikTok that's just like, women dating inmates and like inmates doing like basically they do like personals ads, but as inmates and they put their commissary number or whatever.
Yeah.
It's and then like random girls from TikTok will like send them stuff. It's crazy. That's like a real thing.
Yeah. I've definitely seen those personal ads where someone taught like explaining who they are with like a little attitude.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, I like to talk about cars and I'm here for 3 years. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
I want someone to talk to at night.
For Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
I feel like I've said this on the pod before, but on my mom's side of the family, most of my uncles are carnies. So I'm kind of like a carny nepo baby in that way. Like
prime for UCB.
Yeah, if you need somebody to guess your age or weight, I can get right in there. But one of these uncles spent a decent amount of time at Sing Sing, and my mom's youngest brother, not a carny, is autistic. And one time we were all sitting around and like my uncle's one prison in New York was brought up. And my mom's youngest brother then revealed that he can list every single prison in the state of New York because of how many times he had to visit my other uncle at like all of them. And he just, you know, in this amazing way, just monotone listed truly every single prison in New York. And he was like, I've been there, been uptown, downtown, all over.
Spent time.
Wow.
When I was like on the commissary website sending my cousin shit, I was assuming from my like progressive angle, I'm like, oh, this is going to be definitely way overpriced and because they're ripping you off because it's your only option. It's really not. Like everything's kind of like maybe 10 cents more. It's more expensive to buy like a ramen or like a jerky at my bodega.
But the thing is like that these guys, sometimes they have people, family that can send.
Yeah.
But sometimes they can only buy it with what they make and they're like making
yeah,
clothes and shit in jail. Oh, and they're making like 10 cents a day. So a ramen is like a week's worth of wages. Or
I guess
something.
I just assumed it'd be more exploitative than it is. Because it's like 25 cents a text message to text him, right? Or like a dollar or something
per text message. Crazy.
And if I send him something, he has to gets charged to his account. Even if he doesn't know I'm texting him, which is bad. But
so somebody could be like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
And just charge them all that money. But yeah,
Harvey
it's like,
Weinstein, just start texting him. All right. I believe that takes us
straight to Grasshole of the Week. Grasshole of the Week is our segment that, we nominate someone. We push, not even nominate. We declare someone as Grasshole, someone who needs to log off more than anyone else. Our Grasshole this week stays in the realm of obnoxious white men. But first, in order to understand the Grasshole, we need to talk about the NFL.
Okay. Take a sip of my drink.
Yeah.
Here.
Specifically, Shador Deion Sanders, who is the son of Deion Sanders. I'm going to do my best. This is not a sports podcast.
Not a math podcast.
Not a science podcast. We believe in all those things, but we're not doing it. Okay. So there was an NFL draft this week.
Okay.
Which is when teams pick. They pick players for their team for the next season. And it's usually like the best college and like recently graduated and young players. And you could kind of tell who's going to get picked at what time. Like if someone's really, really good, they're going to go first round. And if someone's like, whatever, they'll go last round, whatever. So based on this guy's dad, Deion Sanders, who's a famous NFL guy, and Shador Deion Sanders' ability, everyone thought he was going to be first pick in the draft, or at least very high, but he was picked last. And it was kind of sad because he put like, this kid was also like very arrogant in a good way, but in a way that a lot of people don't want to see black men be.
Yeah.
So he kind of decked his whole part, like, because usually families have like a party when the kids are getting drafted.
Yeah.
And like everyone's there celebrating. He did this whole party, had decor that said legendary on it. And then they picked him last. And like, there's a bunch of articles out there on like why, speculating why they did him last. And a lot of people have speculated that it was like a move to humble him. He was too big for his britches, blah, blah, blah. All you got to know is that he's a black quarterback. And we all know how this country feels about black quarterbacks. So there we go. And again, he was projected to be first round pick by multiple experts and mock drafts. So the quarterback had been waiting for more than a day to find out. So he didn't, not even that day, like the next day, he was still figuring out which team had chose him. Somebody on Twitter was like, can you explain this Shador Sanders thing in a gay way? And here are some comparable things that I will help like contextualize the situation. Imagine Blue Ivy didn't get the Grammy yet, but Northwest and Alabama Barker did. Okay. Somebody else said casting a Goldie Hawn biopic and making Kate Hudson sit in the waiting room for days instead of making a show of giving her the part immediately during a party where her decor was saying legendary. Then there's this one really well-known black Twitter guy. His name is Chris Evans. His thing is not Captain America. I will just caveat that he has blocked me on Twitter.
He blocked me. I'm going to say that.
He blocked me. I think he blocked a bunch of progressive because he's like a centrist.
I always wondered why he blocked me. And I was like, did I do something?
Yeah, well,
no, he fucking sucks.
I don't think I ever interacted with him. But then one day I went to his page because he's like, popular on Twitter. And he had me blocked.
Yeah, I have a couple of those. Yeah.
And I'm like, what did I do?
Like he was anti Bernie Sanders. So anyone who was like, sympathize with Bernie Sanders, I think he mass blocked all these people and used to not be able to see their shit anymore. But now Elon fucked it up. So anyone who blocks you can see. So I got this stupid ass screenshot next slide where he said he asked ChatGPT about the Shador Sanders thing. And this is what ChatGPT
Look at these M dashes. This looks exactly like the tweet that I was saying before.
Yes. Shador Sanders is like the new housewife who joined the cast with a pedigree. He's the son of Deion Sanders, who's basically the Lisa Vanderpump of football. Okay. Legendary, glamorous, and always in control. So naturally, people expected Shador to enter the league with a full glam team, diamond in hand, center of the promo photo, a first-round pick. but instead he got picked in the third round. That's like expecting to be announced as the breakout star of the season, only to be edited into a background role, shoved into group scenes, and left out of the reunion couch, which means a lot in Real Housewives. Thing. When the tweet says he fell, it's giving, she walked into the room thinking she was the moment, but the network execs weren't convinced. Still, this is Housewives. Sometimes the underdog gets the best arc in the end. Wow. So that's what ChatGPT said.
A colon after it's giving is making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like it's giving colon. It's
giving AAVE struggle, but we don't have time for that. Just put a pin in AAVE struggle. Anyway, so it looked like Shador was never going to get picked until he got a call from an NFL exec, specifically the New Orleans Saints general manager, Mikey Loomis. But the person behind the call wasn't really Mikey. It was someone by the name of Jax Ulbrich. And who is Jax? Well, Jax is the son of Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator for the Falcons. And Jax is the grasshole because he fucking prank called Shador and put it on TikTok.
Wow.
He prank called Shador, said that he was this guy from the Saints, and then recorded it and posted it.
Come on, man.
On fucking...
What? That's
so unnecessary.
So mean. I'm sorry. I just had a visceral reaction to that because I remember one time in high school, these were all like people that I wasn't really friends with, but there was this girl who really wanted to get into William & Mary, and someone prank called her and pretended that they were the William & Mary admission.
It's evil.
Telling her that she got in, and it like broke her heart and made her so sad.
Did she get into William & Mary?
No.
Wow.
She didn't get in. And then they called her to be like, we made a mistake. Like they basically like, they were clowning her, and it was so mean. And I always remember being like, wow, that was really mean.
Yeah, like, pranks are fun. That's too far.
Yeah.
Are the Saints good that, like, is that?
I think because he was so last, he wanted to be drafted.
Go anywhere,
Go anywhere. So Sanders got that fake call on Friday, the second day of the NFL draft. And by that time, Sanders already slid down to number 40 pick, according to Bleacher Report. On the call, which was recorded by both Sanders and so Sanders recorded the call thinking that he
this was the call
thinking that this was the call
and Ulbrich,
Sanders was told he was their pick but he was their next pick but he'd have to just wait a little longer. Guys, there's video, let's watch it.
Oh man, no.
That's so mean.
This is Mickey Loomis here, GM of the Saints.
How you doing?
Good, how are you, man?
Good, been waiting on you.
Ready to go.
Yeah, we have. It's been a long wait, man.
No, for sure.
We're going to take you with our next pick right here, man.
Yes, sir. Let's be legendary.
But you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, Nasty.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Ready to go!
What does that mean?
What? What are you saying?
I don't know.
Are you going to ask us what it means? And you was on the phone.
You heard that? He said you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. Sorry about that.
Barely even a good prank.
I know, like, there's literally nothing funny about doing that.
Yeah.
And he's so nice on the phone, him being like, I've been waiting on you. Let's be legendary. Like, and he's a kid. This is...
He's like 23 or something, 22?
And the guy who did the prank was 21.
Yeah.
So it got so bad.
Yeah.
Like, this went public. Everyone was really fucking pissed. People, you know, you always have some guys on the internet. Oh, the guy was just a kid. He's just a kid. He doesn't mean it. Other people are like, fuck that kid. He's a full adult.
Yeah.
And his dad should be fired. His dad absolutely should be fired. So it got so bad that the Atlanta Falcons, who, again, have nothing to do with this, they just, you know, hired this guy's dad, had to release this statement. That said, earlier in the week, Jax Ulbrich, the 21-year-old son of the defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, unintentionally came across the draft contact number for Shador Sanders off an open iPad while visiting his parents' home and wrote the number down to later conduct a prank call. Jeff was unaware of the data exposure or any facets of the prank and was made aware of the above only after the fact. The Atlanta Falcons do not condone this behavior and send our sincerest apologies to Shador Sanders and his family, who we have been in contact with to apologize to, as well as facilitate an apology directly from Jax to the Sanders family. We've also been in contact with the NFL and will continue to cooperate fully with any inquiries we may receive from the NFL League office. We are thoroughly reviewing all protocols and updating if necessary to help prevent an incident like this from happening again.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, what did this kid think was going to happen? Like, you just fucked over your dad at work.
Yeah, that was so bad.
You exposed yourself as an asshole. Like, do you think people are going to respond well to that? I just don't understand why you would do
this. There's this whole cruelty culture among this, like these pranks they do where there's guys that are just like being dicks in public. And that's like a whole genre of YouTube video now. Like, there's no like I know the Impractical Jokers are all canceled now or whatever, but like they're always the butt of their own jokes, right? This guy's just being a dickhead for no reason.
A prank is something that's like goofy and harmless and like a little absurd. For something to not be coming off as mean-spirited, it has to be either impersonal, or if it's personal, you have to have a relationship with someone.
Yeah.
You know, and there has to be love and trust there for you to like fuck with them a little bit. But this guy doesn't know you. And also, this is very, very personal. Like, it's not like, oh, you ordered a pizza, or like, I don't know. I used to prank call people, and like when they would pick up,
of course,
I'd flush the toilet, and that was funny.
But
like this is so, you're like, what was he thinking? Well, Jax had to put a statement out, and this is the only thing that he has on Instagram.
And this is a cautionary tale against naming your kid Jax, by the way. Like, well, this is what will happen. Known.
On Friday night, I made a tremendous mistake. Shador, what I did was completely inexcusable, embarrassing, and shameful. I'm so sorry I took away from your moment. It was selfish and childish. I could never imagine getting ready to celebrate one of the greatest moments of your life, and I made a terrible mistake and messed with that moment. Thank you for accepting my call earlier today. I hope that you can find it in your heart to forgive me, at Shador Sanders.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
What do you, like,
he still thinks it's funny.
Yeah. To be like, I can't imagine what it would be like to go through that. Maybe you should have before you fucking did this.
Yeah.
What a little twerp.
Completely like, unnecessary.
And I don't
prank.
Use that word lightly.
Yeah.
Little twerp.
Yeah. Like, he looks like a Jax, too.
Yeah.
Just complete asshole. Just complete grasshole, first of all, to do this. But, like, that's also something that's been talked about is, like, with these kids, this new generation of people, like, they don't understand that, like, shit has consequences. Or they're viewing things in this blurred reality where, like, they see the assholes on YouTube and they're not really thinking, like, oh, like, if I do this, this will, like, hurt someone's feelings. Like, it's not clicking.
Right.
Also, like, just a few weeks ago, I think there was that girl who got punched in the face for, like, asking about abortion, like, being like, you're a murderer to this
woman.
And she got punched in the face. And then people are like, sometimes the shit you say has physical consequences.
Well, because also that woman, in the case of that video too, she was walking up to people on the streets of New York and say, basically was like, so you're cool with killing babies? You're a baby killer? And it's like, yeah, some people, if you walk up to them and say you're a baby killer, they're maybe going to punch you in the
face. Like, who knows if they had like a miscarriage or something.
Yeah,
right? It's like you don't even know what you're... You want to say super inflammatory stuff to somebody, and then in the video, she's like, oh, she just attacked me! And it's like, you attacked her!
They're always like that. Yeah, they're always like that.
Yeah, so... I don't know. It's just very much giving this thing of like, first of all, the joke flopped because like it would have been funnier and crueler if Shador was like, yeah, I got it, you know, but like even he was like confused. He was like, what does that mean? You're calling me, telling me I'm next, but then you're saying just to wait a little longer. Like that doesn't mean anything.
You got to commit to the bit.
And you got to commit to the bit. And also like, I feel like a contract would be sent pretty quickly or something. I don't know. I'm not sure. It was a struggle. I read ChatGPT, like, Housewives comparison to understand this shit, but...
There's just no joke to it at all. It's just to, like, do something confusing and then see the person be confused
by it.
You're
not pointing out a greater problem. It's just stupid and mean. Like,
it just makes no sense. And I do feel like the only motivation to do it was, oh, I'm going to film this and put it on TikTok and get views. And it's like... I mean, yeah, you are going to get views, but people are going to hate you and it's actually going to affect your dad's job. And it's going to make like it's going to make things hard for you at home and immediately blow back on you. So it seems like truly the only motivation to do this would be to get views on TikTok.
Terrible. Well, Guys, today a lot of data breaches.
A lot of data breaches.
Just put some passwords on your shit.
Don't leave your iPad out.
Don't leave your iPad out.
Two-factor authentication if you can.
Face unlock.
No face unlock.
Okay.
Police are allowed to use your face or your thumb, but they can't make you give your code. Sorry to get nerdy.
No, that's really good. And this is why we have you on the pod. This is really good information.
No, we're so glad to have you, Sean. Guys, for the crime of using your dad's work iPad to prank call a guy probably suffering like pretty fucked up racism.
Yeah.
Jax Albrecht, don't touch grass. Sean, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. This is a blast.
Where can we find you? Sorry, I didn't know much more about sports.
Did you get the impression we know?
Yeah, I got no sports knowledge as the man in the room.
I think you explained it great.
You did great. Yeah, I understood what happened.
Thank you to everybody. Thank you to ChatGPT.
And thank you to that guy who blocked us.
Fuck you. But Sean, where can we find you who hasn't blocked me yet?
I'm on all the social media. Just search my name. I don't want to say all my letters out. It always gets confusing. Sean Morrow. S-E-A-N-M-O-R-R-O-W.
Well, I can spell my name.
Yeah, I did. Check out More Perfect Union. We just put out a video about Palantir, this company that's going to get all our data and shit. It's scary.
Yeah, if you're interested in data and
evil, like how they're going to watch us and mix all the IRS data with the ICE data, it's no good.
Okay. Well, I'll be watching that.
Yeah, I'll follow up Black Mirror with that.
Yeah.
The real Black Mirror. Yeah.
All right, guys, you can follow me at Elise Navidad on TikTok, at Pandalise on Instagram, and this podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything.
And you can follow me at Millie_Tamirez on Instagram and at Millie Tamirez on Twitter. I'm sorry, I short-circuited for a second.
Sometimes it's hard to remember the handles all the time.
I'm also on Lemonade. Guys, I got to turn my notifications off. Lemonade is crazy.
Oh, you're still, guys are still on that, even though TikTok didn't get banned?
I know, but then what's going to, 90 days. Or was it a 120 day ban?
Yeah.
Or extension? So
I think it got extended again.
Yeah. When,
it's all fake.
But also, I don't know, we're beefing with China in ways we never thought we would, so.
I don't got no problem with China.
I don't have a problem with China. You know, I'm
innocent. If China's listening, the beef isn't coming from us.
The beef isn't coming from us.
I don't fully understand how China becoming more powerful impacts me negatively.
I would say that we'd get some good high-speed rail here in America, which we need. And we don't have to get into it because we know how I get about stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I will say that, like, I think it was 2 days ago, there was an Instagram glitch where just briefly my entire Instagram was in Chinese. And I was like, it's happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. We lost. Yeah.
We lost already. It's done. They've got the grid.
They've got the grid. Yeah. Speaking of big buck babies, everybody, go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, I'm Tony Hale.
I'm Matt Oberg.
And I'm Kristen Schaal.
And we're going to be hosting the new podcast, The Extraordinarians, where we are going to be interviewing extraordinary people doing extraordinary things, things that we have never and probably will never do.
We talk to people who have broken records on slack lines suspended by hot air balloons.
Yep.
We're talking to people who have done multiple flips on trampolines. You'll have to tune in to find out how many flips they did.
Subscribe to Extraordinarians on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Cast, or wherever you get your podcasts, and watch me.
God,
in three. Watch it on the YouTube. There's new episodes that we release it every Wednesday.
We do.
I've never seen you cry before.
I know.
I don't know how
this
I feel about
this is upsetting
it.
For all of us.
They don't let us break for lunch.
They do.
The podcast is so competitive. They make you just.
Guys, we're watching a spin out.
Please subscribe.
Oh, man.
Extraordinarians.
Hi, I'm Jesse Klein.
And I'm Liz Feldman, and we're the hosts of a new HeadGum podcast called Here to Make Friends.
Liz and I met in the writer's room on a little hit TV show called Dead to Me, which is a show about murder.
But more importantly, it's also about two women becoming very good friends in their 40s.
Which can really happen, and it has happened to us.
It's true.
Because life has imitated art.
And then it imitated life.
Time is a flat circle.
And now
we're making a podcast that's about making friends.
And we're inviting incredible guests like Vanessa Bayer.
Wow, I have so much to say.
Lisa Kudrow.
Feelings, they're a nuisance.
Nick Kroll.
I just wanted to say hi.
And Matt Rogers.
I'm like on the verge of tears.
So good.
So good to join us and hopefully become our friends in real life.
Yeah, take it out of the podcast studio and into real life. Along the way, we are also going to talk about dating.
Yep.
Spousing.
True.
Parenting.
Uh-huh.
Careering.
Yeah.
And why we love Thelma and Louise, and it's the greatest movie of all time.
Shouldn't need to be said.
No, but we said it.
It's just a true thing. So please subscribe to Here to Make Friends on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And watch video episodes on YouTube. New episodes every Friday.